Okay, we have, this week we begin our new Sefer, the final Sefer in the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, Parshas Devarim. Of course, it's also the week of Tisha B'Av, just a couple of days away. And this week's Sedra is actually seen as a, much of it is Teichacha, much of it is rebuke, but it's rebuke in the way Moshe Rabbeinu teaches us how to give rebuke. And let's just learn the first Pasuk, and let's learn the Rashi that comes together with it. Eila hadvarim, these are the words asher dibra Moshe, that Moshe said, I'll call Yisrael to all the Jewish people. Be'ever hayarden, in the other side of the Yarden, Bamidbar, in the wilderness, Barava, on the plain, Mul Suf, next to Suf, Bein Paran, Bein Teufel, between Paran and Teufel, V'lovan, V'chatzeres, V'dizov. And these are like words that, whoa, what is this? What are these words telling us? What are these words talking about? So Rashi famously tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu, this was a Moshe Rabbeinu sensitivity, that Moshe Rabbeinu was actually rebuking them. He was rebuking them on many different things that happened. It's sort of a monologue about the things they did wrong in the Midbar. But he doesn't say it that way. He says it only in terms of mentioning a place. So let's learn the Rashi. Bamidbar, what's the Midbar? It says, lo Midbar haya. El ba'arvas, it was ba'arvas. Barvas Mayev, Umaba Midbar, Bishvil Masha, Yichisba Midbar, they got him angry in the Midbar when they said, Mi Yitain Musain, when they complained. What's Barava? Bishvil Arava, because of the plain. Shechatu Babalpur, Bishitim Barvas Mayev, because they were chaitim by Balpur in the Arvas Mayev, in the plains of Mayev. Mul Suf, next to Suf, what does that mean? Of course, what they did a chet in Yam Suf. When they said, you know, we believe in Kfar Mitzrayim. There's no Kfar Mitzrayim. Take us back. And then it says, "Bein Parnu, Bein Teufel, V'Lovin, Arib Yoichin, Chazarna, Kol Mikrov, Lo Metzina." I didn't find a place which is called Teufel Lovin, but it means on the Chetuf Lal Mon. They complained about the Mon, which is white. And then, of course, Chatzeros is what does it mean? Chatzeros. That's Chayrech. And then, what does it mean? Dizov. Of course, that's the Egel Asov. So each of these places where Moshe Rabbeinu rebuked the Kol Yisrael, but he did it with exquisite sensitivity, not to cause them any pain, because he knew that saying it straight out is going to cause them to feel bad. So I saw the Kasha asked, that when did these Chatoim happen? These Chatoim all happened 40 years before. These are all things that happened at the beginning when they were coming into the Midbar, when they had just left Eretz Mitzrayim. That's when they had the Chet Egel, Yam Suf, the Mon. They were left Mitzrayim. They started complaining. When is this Teichach that Moshe Rabbeinu is giving them? 5 weeks before his Petira. That means it's 40 years later. So the question number one is, why do you wait 40 years? It's a long time to wait. You know, it's very interesting. You know, people like to joke, I don't remember what I ate for lunch yesterday. You know, people say that. I can't remember what I ate for, you know, I can't even remember. But so 40 years, and not only that, not only is it 40 years later, but they weren't even the same people. Remember, most of the people died in the Midbar. So who were these people? They were the children. So it's like coming to us and saying, parents did such a chet, they did so. You say, was Wilter from Mir? What do you want from my life? My parents, they're not my children, they're my parents. I had no control. So why is he giving him a rebuke 40 years later? So I want to say two things. First, to talk about, he explains in the Sefer Mayan HaShavua. So he explains, what was this sensitivity? So Moshe Rabbeinu had a question to ask himself. He says, you know, and this is a question of any Rav, any teacher, any parent, has to ask themselves the following question. How should I give rebuke? Somebody did something wrong. I can do it one of two ways. I can do it between the eyes. I can do it straight. Or I can do it in an elliptical manner. Each one has a danger and has an advantage. If I do it straight, especially if they know it's coming from a good place, from a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu, who Shechina Medarim B'Tov Grono, the Shechina speaks from in his throat. So of course he means well. Of course Moshe Rabbeinu is doing the right thing. So maybe people listen to it. On the other hand, the fact is Moshe Rabbeinu, they'll be exquisite halbanis ponim. They'll be very embarrassed. You know, if I would come over to you and I say, you know, I don't think you did the right thing, so you probably wouldn't feel too great about it. But let's say a Gadol Hador came and told you didn't do the right thing, you'd be a lot more embarrassed. So Moshe Rabbeinu was at the Gadol Hador For him to give the chacha straight would have been very embarrassing. On the other hand, by saying it this way, you know, if you want, you can ignore all the hints. You know, there's the, you know, we always like to tell the story of the rabbi who gave a fiery speech in shul, and he said, everybody in the shul is going to die, and it's going to be terrible, and nobody's coming out of this world alive. And there's one guy sitting in the shul, and he's smiling. See, afterwards, the whole time the Rav can't take it, he's yelling louder and louder and louder. The guy's smiling. He finally goes over to me, he says, I don't understand. We're talking about that everybody in this shul is going to die. How can you, you know, sit there smiling? So he looks at him and he says, Rabbi, I don't daven in the shul. It's not me. You know, I'm talking about somebody else, you know, the clever starbers, you know. So on the one hand, Moshe Rabbeinu had this dilemma. If he tells him straight, he'll be mal b'nei chavera. If he tells him in an elliptical way, maybe they won't get the hint. Or they can ignore the hint, you know? And Rashi tells us, if you didn't learn Rashi, I mean, if somebody who's not Jewish learns this, you know, without Rashi, I don't know what they think this means. I don't know how they understand it. Without Rashi, it doesn't mean, I don't understand it. But with Rashi, it takes time to understand it. So therefore, a person might not understand it. So he says, this was the Shikol Hadas. Do we go with what to tell the truth? Or do we go not to be Malbim de Chavero? And you know which one won out? Not to be Malbim Chavero. Not to cause embarrassment. Even if it would lose in the Teichacha value, even losing his ability to say it straight, better not. Even 40 years later, and even the kids, right? They'll still be embarrassed. Because I'm embarrassed if I hear something about a parent. We'll still feel ashamed and embarrassed. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu made that decision that he's not going to be Malbim Chavero. He's going to do it in an elliptical way. And he says that's a tremendous lesson for us as we give Teichacha, as we point out things to other people, whether it be children, whether it be subordinates, whether it be Talmidim, whether it be congregants, that we have to be very careful that the value, the halbanis ponim, is so important that even if we lose some of the teichacha shabbat, the ability to give teichacha, maybe it's worth it. Okay, second item, we asked the question, we said, why 40 years later?
Yeah, that's right.
Why do we wait? Why did Moshe Rabbeinu wait 40 years? Why didn't he tell them this beautiful speech? He should have given right after all this happened in the second year. He should have got them all together. And he should have said, Love and Chatzer V'dizov. What was he telling them? So I want to give two answers. First is he talks about this Indian that we said, the Eila Dvarm Shadir Ben Moshe Kol Yisrael, and it gives places. It's Mekaymus. So he's going to give us now five, we're going to go through five different places where we see how important a place is. A place, a physical place. To go to office, wherever you are. It's important. What's that? So the first story is the story of the Brisker Rav. The Brisker Rav was once walking with his Talmidim, and all of a sudden he started to get very sadoodled. He started, I can't take it, something's... I feel like I'm going to faint. I'm passing out. It's terrible. And their moms, they got alarmed. And they started to rush him off to the doctor. They take him to the hospital. Something would happen. They go about 100 feet or whatever the amount, it doesn't say exactly. And all he says, okay, feel better. I said, okay, Rebbe, you know, what happened? You didn't feel good. All of a sudden, you feel good. So it turned out on that place, they were Mavar, then that place they used to stand the cloister. It was a church in that place. And therefore, he felt that tumah from that place. It bothered him, and he felt because he was like exquisitely attuned. Like we say, sometimes some people have very good smell, some people have very good vision, other people have very good spiritual sense. There's a famous story. I wait for the bus, the Muncie bus in Times Square and 42nd Street and 7th Avenue. It's always an odd sight. Seeing all the front people lined up for the bus, and then, you know, the humanity is walking by. There's a famous story with Rabbi Chanan Wasserman that they were taking him, and this is in the 40s. He was nifter in the early 40s, so probably in the 30s. And they were taking him down, and as he got close to Times Square, he got very agitated. He says, don't take me near here. I feel a tumor over here. He was able to be, a person of stature is able to understand. So he says, the Malkum. He says the place can actually become infused. If tumah was done there, something was done there improper, tumah becomes in that place. And that's, he says, that by Moshe Rabbeinu, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu, in Makkah Barad, says that Moshe Rabbeinu was told said to Paro, he says, Ketseisi is Seir, Ephras is Kapai El Hashem. When I go out of the city, I will raise my hand to Hashem. Remember, Paro's begging him, get rid of this. I can't take it anymore. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, okay, I'll go daven for you. So he said, I want to go out of the city. So Rashi says, but in the city, couldn't daven. Why? Because it was filled with idols. It was a city, so everywhere you went, there was an idol. I remember I was once by the Catholic conference in Washington. A friend, there's everywhere he goes. It's a Getchka. So there was a Getchka. So he says, the Rebbe asked the Kasha, well, okay, not every room had a Getchka. There were rooms without. You can't say every single room. So why didn't Paro give him a room, say that room is, you know, there's no Getchkas in there. You can go diving over there. So he says, because no good. Because all those Getchkas made that the city itself become tummy. The city became tummy because of all the things that were there. He brings another Meisim, somebody that was a Rav in Slobodka. And they made him a Rav in a different place. He got a job in a different place named Kalish. And he complained that he didn't feel he could come to the same Madrega as he had in Slobodka. And what was the reason? Because again, there was no cloister in Slobodka, but there wasn't Kalish. So all of these things are all stories that show us this inyan, that the place can make a difference. It says in Pirkei Avos, "B'mayshav leitzim lo." It says in Tillim, "B'mayshav leitzim lo yashav." Right? You shouldn't be in a mayshav leitzim. How does somebody? What's a mayshav leitzim? So I would think, if I thought about mayshav leitzim, I would think of mayshav leitzim, a place of scoffers. I would say where everybody sits around the Kortenspieler. You know, people play cards. People who mock, who make fun, comedians who comedians that make fun of everything. That's what I would say is mayshav leitzim. That's me. Pirkei Avos does not say that. He says, you know what a Meishav Leitzim is? Where three people are sitting together and didn't say Torah to each other. That's scary. That's a Meishav Leitzim. And a Meishav Leitzim, Lo Yashav, says the first Pasuk in Tillim, shouldn't be hanging out in a place like that. Why not? Not just because it's a Meishav Leitzim, because the Leitzim are there. It doesn't say, the Pasuk in Tillim doesn't say, don't hang out with Leitzim. Im Leitzim al tischaber, don't be mechaber with Leitzim. That you know. It says, b'maish of Leitzim. The place where they sit is already, even if they left, and we'll see a raya from that, beautiful raya from Pesukim, look in the Chumash, we'll see a beautiful raya. But even when they're, b'maish of Leitzim, a place where Leitzim were, and Leitzim is somebody where there's no Torah, that's already someplace that you should not be. So Baruch Hashem, we have the shir here in the office, and it brings Torah to the office, and now this is a kosher place to be. Okay, one last thing, and then we go to the pasuk. One last story. The Imri Chaim, a vision, it's one of the great vision that's a Rebbe's. He came to America, he had a maisa that he was raising money for after the Milchama, for orphans, and people, survivors, and he, part of his health regimen was that he had to walk. So he had to walk, so he used to take walks in the park. So he had his gabbai carry a chair for him wherever he went. So one day the gabbai turns to him and says, Rebbe, you know, there's lots of park benches. We keep passing park benches. Like, why am I carrying your chair? So Rebbe says, listen, it's too heavy for you. I'll carry the chair. It's not a problem. He says, no, chas v'shalom, I didn't mean that, Rebbe. Don't. What I meant to say is, there's a place to sit. So he says, listen, I don't know from America, but I hear there's a lot of tomb over here. Who knows what happened on these park benches? Who knows what tomb was on this park bench? And therefore, I want to bring my own chair to make sure that I don't sit on the park bench. And I'm saying, this is a Madrega is a little bit higher than us. This is above our level. But the bottom line is that that's what we see, is that the place makes a difference. Whether it's a place filled with Kedusha, filled with Tahara, it's going to be a place of Kaddish. And if it's a place where things went bad, it's going to be even when the people aren't there. And here's a beautiful raya. Here's a raya he's going to take. Let's take a look in two psukim in the Torah. The first pasuk is in Devarim, Yud Zayin Tez Zayin. And it talks about the reason, Yud Zayin Tez Zayin, page 543. It talks about there's a halacha that you're not allowed to live in Egypt. You're not allowed to live in Mitzrayim. Okay. Why not? So it says in the pasuk, it says, and talking about the halachas of the melech, let's say Shaiftim, Parsha Shaiftim, pasuk Tezayin, Rak lo yarba lo yisusim v'lo yashiv esa om Mitzrayim, you shouldn't back to me Mitzrayim, leman harba yisus, Hashem Omer Lachem, Hashem said, Lo Sosiv Loshuv Baderech Hazeh Oid. You should not go back to this place in this way again. There's a Beferisha Halacha in the Torah that you're not supposed to go back to Mitzrayim. You're not supposed to go back and live Mitzrayim. That's Pasuk number one. Then if you go to Shmois Yud Dalet Pasuk Yud Gimel, Perek Yud Dalet Pasuk Yud Gimel, that's page 191. There's another pasuk that tells you not to live in Mitzrayim. So v'yaymer ma'ishalom al tiro hisyatzu ru'u es Yeshua Hashem asher yaslem hayayim ki kasher isem es Mitzrayim, as you've seen the Egyptians tayom today, lo siv lir some oid, you won't see them anymore. So we have two psukim that tell us that you're not supposed to be in Mitzrayim. One pasuk says don't go there because that's a place, where a terrible place. The other one says you shouldn't see the Mitzrayim anymore. So what's the difference between these two psukim? Why do we have two different psukim, which l'chorah say the same thing? So he says, that's the vort. The first pasuk tells us, the one in Shmois says, what it say? You shouldn't see them. That means don't live in a place where the Mitzrayim are going to be there to influence you. Don't go back with them, because every Mitzray can have an influence on you, and they're not a good influence on you, so stay away from them, right? Parent tells children, stay away, it's a bad influence. Mitzrayim says, Hashem, are bad influence, stay away from these guys, they're no good. That's one pasuk. The other pasuk doesn't talk about the Mitzrayim at all. It talks about Eretz Mitzrayim. It talks about the place called Mitzrayim in the pasuk in Devarim. It says, "Don't go to Mitzrayim. Lo yoshev es o Mitzrayim o leman har basuz." Don't go back to Mitzrayim. Why? Because Hashem said, "Don't go back to this place again." That's even if the Egyptians leave. There's a halacha. It's an interesting halacha. Do you know, I don't know if everybody knows this, but all the halachas of marriage, of who you can and cannot marry, don't apply today. When it says you can't marry a Mitzri, you can't marry, except for a Ger and so on, but, you know, nations. It says you can't marry a Moavi, you can't marry this one, you can't marry that one, a Maleki. You know they don't apply. You know why they don't apply? Because it says that Sancheriv came, Ubilbul Esa'olam. There was a king named Sancheriv. And he went, and his strategy was, and this is a great strategy, is that he would relocate populations. Because he realized that people in their own land are very feisty. But if they're immigrants, they're much more, you know, cautious. They don't know the land, they don't know the language, they don't know the currency, they don't know it. So so what did he do? He would take a whole nation and exile them to a different nation. Then he'd take the second, put them by the first one. He mixed the whole place up. So therefore, somebody lives in Mitzrayim is not necessarily Mitzri. And somebody lives in Chveis, Canaan is not necessarily Canaani. And so on and so forth. And somebody lives in Mitzrayim is not a Mitzri. Every place is now Bilbul. It's confused. Like Migdal Bavel. So therefore, everybody's mixed up. So then L'chorah should be able to live in Mitzrayim. So why is there still a pasuk that says don't live in Mitzrayim? Because the place is so gazapped with Tumah. It was so filled with this Tuev of Mitzrayim, Erev Asa Aretz, that the place itself became spoiled. And that's how we understand it.
Yeah, my husband was born in Egypt.
What?
Husband was born in Egypt, and Rambam was in Egypt for years.
Yeah. So Rambam it's in dispute, you say, who's over on three lavim every day from living in Mitzrayim. Now, in other words, they lived in Mitzrayim because they had to live in Mitzrayim.
Yeah,
but there's a difference between, you know, if you went there because that's where you were born. And but otherwise, L'chaira, there's a question. The question, all of these things, the question of the Lav of Mitzrayim, the question of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael's Midoraisa today, all of these things are dispute whether they actually apply to today. But there's no question if you're forced to live in a certain place because that's where it's different. But in theory, though, there's an Indian of, because Mitzrayim was gazapped with this. Now you might ask me, wait a second, what about Canaan? L'chor Canaan also was, right? So this is a very good question. And I heard on Rabbi Reisman ask this on one of the tapes. It says that how did they, one of the types of tzaras was tzaras of a house. The house, why? Because the house would get tzaras, you'd break it down and you'd get all the Mitzri stuff, right? The Canaan stuff, you'd find buried in the cellar, you'd find all of his gold and jewels. So Hashem gave tzaras to help you out. So L'chor, he asked the same kasha. If we're saying that everything is gazapped with this type of tumah, which we just said, so how is it possible? So I think the pshat is, I saw Divrei Yoel on it many years ago. I'm not sure what he said. I don't remember. I have to look it up. But I think that the pshat is, when there's a tzivi from Hashem It's like Hashem cleans it up for you. In other words, you're right. For you to go into that place is not a good thing. But if HaKadosh Baruch gives you a tzivui to go into that place, he commands you to go into that place, he tells you to go into that place, then it's different. Then you're allowed to do it. So it could be, but I'll try and look at Divrei Yoel, and we'll share it when the time comes. Okay, let's move on to something else, which is just a wonderful, wonderful machshava. It says in Pasuk Chav Gimel, Moshe Rabbeinu is talking about the Meraglim. And he says, how did the episode with the Meraglim start? So what does he say? Pasuk Chav Beis, Vatikru V'nei Kulchem. Let's go back to Perek Aleph, Pasuk Chav Beis. Okay, it's right by Shlishi, page 494. Vatikru v'nei kulchem, and you all came to me. Vatayman, you said, Nishlecha noshim, let us send people, let us send men lefanenu. V'yakru lonis aretz, and they'll go and they'll, you know, dig into the land, see what's up. V'yoshivo son of dover, es haderech hashel nalaboy, v'es ha'orem asher nova elehem. So Rashi famously says, Vatikru v'nei kulchem, and you all came to me. So Rashi says a criticism. This was a criticism of Klal Yisrael. Because what is a tikrav and like kulchem? You all came to me? It says birvuvya. You came mixed up. Because it says the zakenim were pushing the zakenim. You know how it's like by a shmorg? You know, everybody's pushing, you know, everybody's sticking each other. So he said, you all came to me and you're all just a bilbo, a mess. Everybody's pushing each other. It was without their cheretz. It wasn't nice. Vatikra like kulchem. That's what he says Rashi. Was the criticism. Lahalan and Leimer, later on, when it talks about going to Har Sinai, when he talks about it, it says, Vatikra called Rashi Shivtechem, Viziknechem. And all the elders came to me. Tomrun Heinerano. Aisa Kreva, Haisa Genis. That was proper. Yeladim Mechabdim as a Zakenim. The Yeladim were Mechabd as a Zakenim. Let the Zakenim. Vishalchim Leif Name. They let the Zakenim go first. Vizakenim Mechabdim as a Rishim. And the Zakenim gave covet to the heads. Lalechus Leif Name. Avakan. But here, Vatim, like Kulchim, you all gathered it together. Birvuvyal. Yeladim Daifim as a Zakenim. The young ones were pushing the elders. Zakenim Daifim as a Rishim. The elders were pushing the leaders. And everybody was a mess. So the Chorim says, Rashi, the criticism. You were so eager to send out the Meraglim because you didn't trust the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Imam just did a Birvuvya. Everybody was like, nobody could wait. Matan Torah was done properly. So in fact, he asked the Kasha. I understand you want to criticize them. And you want to say they came Birvuvya. But why was it necessary to talk about, what was the purpose of talking about the fact that they came by Matan Torah properly? You could have just said, they pushed each other. What was added? What did you add there? Now, Pashup Shad is, I don't understand the Kasha that much. Pashup Shad is, it's a contrast. Here they didn't do it properly, here they did it properly. So he says a wonderful Pshat. He says, this was part of the Teichacha. He says, when you were excited for something, you all ran. And you all did it, you couldn't wait. But when it came to Matan Torah, that's when you should have been running. That's when you should have been lifing. Instead, properly, this one in front of that one, take it easy, don't worry, don't rush, because you weren't excited. That's the difference. When you're excited, you run. I remember I was in a shul, I've mentioned this many times, I was in a Sephardi shul in Miami Beach, Rabbi Galamidi at that time, and I had to speak Shalosh Shodas. So I changed what I was going to say, my opening remarks, and I said the following. I said, there's a Barbe Rav Dechad Yom, there was a certain tzaddik. They used to go to the yeshiva, and he used to travel 3 months one direction, 3 months the other direction. He'd be there for 1 day, go home. So I said, I never understood how much could you learn in 1 day? How much can you learn? Is it worth it? I said, but coming to this shul, I learned you don't even need a full day. All you need is Psichas Aron by Mincha. They opened the Aron Kodesh, and the place went wild. They threw the tables, everybody's rushing to kiss the Sefer Torah. The imams had to restrain them. You know, they were just rushing to the Sefer Torah to kiss it, to hug it. There were imams, you saw such excitement. He said, you see the Avos HaTorah over there. Rabbi Reisman once said in the shir, he said he was talking to the Rav from the Lebanese shul across the street from him. And he says, the Rav of the Lebanese shul was saying how he has a problem by when they bring out the Sefer Torah. He loses total control of the shul because everyone gets so excited and they all rush and the place is. And Rabbi Reisman says, I got the other problem. You know, everybody sits there and, you know, nobody gets up. So he says, that's what they were saying. what the criticism was, part of the criticism, beautiful. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, you got your priorities backward. When it comes to the Meraglim, then you're all excited, you're all running. And when it comes to Matan Torah, everything's decorum. Maybe it should be the other way. That's what he wanted to say. That's what he was saying. So he says a beautiful pshat, brings from the Brisker Rav, a beautiful pshat, which explains something. It says by Paro, that when Paro wanted to make the tikkun, the gezeira, on the Jewish children to drown them, the Jewish boys, so he called in three people to give him advice. Who were the three people?
Bilam.
Yisro. And?
Eyov.
Right. So it says like this, says Chazal, tells like this. Bilam that went and gave him an eitzah so that he should do it. So Mida keneged Mida, he was punished, he was killed. He was killed by Cherub, he was killed with a sword. Why he wasn't drowned, I don't know. Okay, we'll leave that. Second person is Yisro. So Yisro was so upset, he saw that nothing, he's not going to be able to convince them, right? This is a grand deal, you know, they're not going to listen to him. So he ran away. So he ran away because of his love to protect the Jewish people. So what was his reward? He became part of the Jewish people. He was Megayer. He says, but Eiv, what happened? Eiv was quiet. So what was Eiv's punishment? Yisurim, pain. He says, why should that have been punishment? He should have been struck with dumbness. He should have been able, he had a machli, he shouldn't be able to talk. If you want Mida Keneged Mida, Hashem does everything, measure for measure, so the Mida Keneged Mida is that he should become an Elam. So why do you get Yisurim? What's the Mida Keneged Mida? So he says that a person like Eiv, even if when children are going to be drowned, I mean, Rahman al-Salam, they're proposing a terrible thing, take babies and drown them. He should have cried out in pain, he should have screamed, said, oi! Even if he didn't want to do it in front of Paro. He should have gone, oi, Tata, how can this happen? And he didn't, he kept quiet. So Hashem sent him Yisurim to make him cry out in pain. You didn't cry out in pain for others, so Hashem said, I'm going to make you cry out in your own pain. That was the Mida Keneged Mida. That was the Eiv. So he says the same thing, that Eiv did not get himself excited. All this happened, and Eiv just took it. Sometimes we see things in the news or we hear things, and we have to be sympathetic. We can't do anything about it. At least let's cry out in pain. So he said, he even says, he brings a little zog. It says, you know, we have an expression, we say kinnis. He says, we should say we wail kinnis. We don't say kinnis, we should wail kinnis. It should bother us. We shouldn't say, you know, listen to Eicha, nice and quiet. It should really bother us. So he tells a story that there was a yid, he says, there was a son-in-law of the Magid, of the Mizritcher Magid. He was called a tzaddik. He was known as Rabbi Avram HaMalach, Rabbi Avram the Angel. So he says there was another tzaddik, his name was Rabbi Yitzchak Radvil. And he heard that they called him Avram the Angel, and it bothered him. How do you call a person an angel? I mean, what? You know, like today, the, you know, Rabbi Binyamin Finkel, I never heard of him from the mirror, it's known as Rabbi Binyamin HaTzaddik. Right, Binyamin HaTzaddik. So here's Avram HaMalach. So it bothered him. So he said, I got to see this person. Let me understand what makes him a Malach. So he happened to come there on Tisha B'Av. So he sees they're saying Eicha, and this Yid, Rav Avram Malach, is sitting with his head between his knees, and he's crying hysterically. He says the floor is wet from his tears. He's mamish crying. Fine. They finish Eicha, everybody goes home, and he's still there crying. He says he comes back in the morning to the next day's davening, and he's still sitting there crying. He goes the whole day, the entire day, he's sitting crying with tears. He says, okay, that's a malach. He says, I agree now, this man's a malach. You see a person that really bothers him. He says, we're coming to the night, we're coming to Tisha B'Av, Mamash, we're right by Tisha B'Av. And okay, so we eat milchiks instead of fleishiks, you know, we're not going to wear shoes. But is it really going to bother us? Are we going to be able to come to Amadrega? Just like the Yidden were criticized that you got your priorities when it came to Matan Torah, you were nice and calm. And when it came to the Meraglim, then you all got excited. So that's our challenge. Challenge is to be able to take this time of the year and to see how we're going to do it in such a way that shows that we really care. It really makes a difference. Okay, two other things I want to share with you. So we mentioned before that when did Moshe Rabbeinu give his Teichacha? When did Moshe Rabbeinu give his rebuke to Klal Yisrael? 5 weeks before he died. Yeah. Chamisha shuos livnei p'ti rasu hislam Moshe Rabbeinu loymer as sefer dorim. He started saying, sefer teichacha. It says, malamish lo yechichen elosom lemisoso. He only criticized them before his death. And Yaakov Avinu criticized what? Right? So, and Rashi says, B'shem HaSifri. He says, because they felt that, you know, they'll listen to me. Yeah. A person, what?
Right, that's more of
There's more of an effect. They know there's no, you know, nothing personal. This person's not going to be alive much longer, and everyone realizes it, and they give it to a chacha. It reaches its mark. He says, but we have a kasha. The kasha is that we find by another Navi who gave great teichacha to Klal Yisrael before the Churban, by the name of Yirmiyah Navi. And we find that Kakosh Baruch Hu said to him, you got to be a Navi, and you got to go be Machiach Klal Yisrael. So he said, what did Yirmiyah respond? So there's a pasuk in Yirmiyah that says, this was Yirmiyah's response. Aha, Hashem, Elohim, hinei lo yadati dover, ki nara noichi. He says, I'm a young man. He says, Pirush Rashi says, Eni kedai la'echichem. Maisha echichem samal misasai. Kvar nechsha be'eneim bekamen nisim sh'oslem. Maisha gave, says Rashi, gave him teichacha before he died with many nisim. Otsim b'tzrayim. He brought him out of Egypt. Karlo, as a yom, he split the sea for them. Hired his money, brought down the money. He gives us a slav. All these things. No, when he gives them teichacha, they're ready to listen. He says, Ani b'tchila shlichaisi. Ani b'la'echichem. So it says Yirmiyah, it doesn't make sense. I'm a kid. How I'm supposed to go and give these people teichacha? My Shemaynu gave teichacha. He had what to give teichacha with. He had a career behind me. They had a karsa toiv. So what's the difference? So he says, you know what the difference is? Moshe Rabbeinu was giving them teichacha on something that already happened in the past. Teichacha on something in the past, you can wait. But if there's a fire burning, and people are doing things wrong, and the Beis Hamikdash could be destroyed, you can't wait, Yirmi, until you grow up. You've got to give the teichacha today. Now. You can't wait. And that was the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu and Yirmi. Yirmi was there, and he was trying to save the Klal Yisrael, and therefore you have to do it right away. So sometimes people feel, you know, who am I to do something? Verbenich. Look at all these great people, who they were. It could be there. It's true. But you have to assess every situation as it is. And sometimes it's brent of fire. You can't wait. So we asked the question at the beginning of this year. Moshe Rabbeinu's Teichacha, he was giving of something that happened 40 years before. Why is he giving Teichacha now and all of these things? Love, the Chatzer, Dizav, all of them were 40 years ago. So I think this answers it. What we said before about the Makam, that he's teaching a lesson. Now's the time I want to give you teichacha on what happened 40 years ago, so you should not fall into these traps. When you come to a place which is dizav, be careful. When you come to a place that's like chatzeros, be careful. When you come to all of these places, be careful. So adarabba, and that takes care of the albanis pun, and Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, these things happened 40 years ago, but they could easily happen again today. There's very little stopping something from happening. Again, if you don't learn the lessons of history, as it was famously said, you're destined to repeat them. So Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to give them the teichacha of all these places, because as the children, because remember, just like we're genetically our parents, we also are temperamentally our parents. Very often people are surprised when an older person comes over and says, you look just like your mother, you look just like your father, you talk just like your mother. I don't know if it's ever happened to you, it's happened to me. People say, oh, you look the same, you sound like you have the same way of moving, everything like that, because we are very much our parents. So the teichacha of the things that happen to our parents very much applies to us, and it's not something that we can ignore. I'd like to just finish something the Kedushas Levi says. We're here in Chodesh Av. And Chodesh Av is a very interesting month. You know, it says by Adar, it says, Mishenichnas Adar, Marvim B'Simcha. And that's, L'char, the whole month is a month of Simcha. It doesn't have like two halves to this month. Av does not like that. Av has two very distinct halves to the month. Av has the first half, which is with Tisha B'Av in it. And then on Tu B'Av, it has, all of a sudden we switch. Tu B'Av is a time of great simcha. It's a time of happiness, right? It's a time, mechaylos b'kronim, they were dancing. Zakta b'ditshver, that the word of stands for the word or baruch. Because the first half of the month is or, is an or type part of the month, but the second half of the time is a baruch. There's a minig, there's an interesting minig, that after chatzais, people clean house. They clean up the house to show that we're getting ready for Mashiach. It's a minute.
After Chatzos.
After Chatzos, yeah, after Chatzos. To get ready, what? To get ready for Mashiach. You sweep the...
She said she didn't understand. She had neighbors. Who cleans something?
Because that's Isaiah Minig. So what is Tu B'Av? Tu B'Av is, what's the letters of Tu? Is Yud and Hey. What's Tu B'Av is Yud and a Hey. Yud and a Hey is one of the Shemus of Hashem. And there's a pasuk that says, Ki Yad al Kes Ka Milchama Vashem Ba Malik Midor Dor. That Yad is Gematria 14, Yud Kes is Gematria 15. There, right now is Yad al Kes Ka. Right now, 14 is, Hamalik's got the upper hand. But there'll be a time when 15 gets the upper hand. Tu B'Av. That's the day when we look forward to the future, to a beautiful future. That's the day that sets us going. And which is that day? We know that we said last week that when there's the word Ish and the word Isha has what in it? The Shem Hashem, the Yud and the Hey. So what day did they dance to make Shaduchim? On Tu B'Av, because that was the day of Yud and Hey. That was the day when they wanted to bring Shaduchim together, and that would bring the Shechinah into their lives. Because then they would become an Ish and an Isha, and the Yud and the Hey would be there. So it's not just in the Veltarine that it happened to fall out on Tu B'Av. Tu B'Av was always destined, just like Tisha B'Av was destined, Tu B'Av was destined. So we have a time in the first half of the month, which we're coming to an end pretty soon, where we go through the Tsar, we go through the Churban HaBayis, where the Yad, the Yodalit is a little bit on top. But in Yitzhak Hashem, after Tisha B'Av, we'll go through a time of renewal, we go through a time of excitement, we go through a time of Yudkei, and that'll be the day of Tu B'Av. We can all look forward to a Bez Hashem glorious future.
What is the Yad? Is 14? Yad is 14.
Yeah, 14. Yeah. So the Lashon of Yad is where it says by Mochama, by Molik, it says Yad al Kes Ka, the Yad of Amolik.
Right.
Talk about the Yad.
The Yad is 14.
Yad is 14. The Yad of Amolik, right now, up until 14 of the month of Av, the Yad is
okay.
So when you get to 15, which is higher than 14, then comes the Yud Kei, which is the higher month, and that becomes the second half of the month, and that becomes the month of happiness and of joy. Thank you so much, everybody. You could all have an easy fast and easy tannis, and we'll reconvene by Tu B'Av.